everyone, and welcome to IT Coffee Break. I'm Anastasia, your host. I'd like to introduce today's expert and my co-host, Chris Howard, open source lead at EPAM UK. Hey, Chris, and welcome. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Anastasia. No problem at all joining. Great to speak to you today.
I'm super excited to learn more about open source projects at EPAM. Before we jump into that, how does a round of this or that game sound?
Yes, why not? Let's go for it. No problem.
Okay. I ask one tricky question and you choose one answer like the most between the two options. Let's start then. What do you have right now in your cup? Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
And it is the most popular answer so far. Fish and chips or bangers and mash?
Probably fish and chips, I think.
Open source or closed technologies?
Obviously open source.
GitHub or GitLab?
Oh, and I'd have to say GitHub as well.
Linux or Mac?
Oh, well, Linux.
Yeah, you're very open source mind tech, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's obvious.
And what I love to do is get a little bit of your professional background and just quickly understand, how did you get to open source?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So I've been working in kind of digital technology for, 15, 20 years, started very young, and professionally for about 10 or 12 years, primarily in kind of technology consulting, so digital transformation and helping companies kind of grow and shift to a digital way of working. And as part of that, a lot of projects I was working on were using platforms that were either entirely open source or were dependent upon open source technologies, things like Drupal, OS Commerce, some earlier things that have moved into proprietary now. And through that, I just really enjoyed the element of not just having open source solutions that were flexible and customizable, but also the community aspect. So a few years ago, the opportunity came to take over and look after open source here at EPAM, and I jumped at the chance, obviously. So that's where I find myself today, working with a team and Thomas, who heads up the open source competency globally, looking after all things open source here at EPAM.
There are many reasons why open source software is great. So it is quality, it is freedom, it's customizability, and of course, the community. But there should be cons as well. So what are they and how to tackle them?
Yeah, good question. Always good to get the bad stuff out of the way first. So. You're right. I'd probably say one of the biggest concerns that I would say was kind of top of the pile, but also what we hear from clients and people engaging with open source is around this idea of kind of ongoing support or maintenance of open source code. I mean, many of the people listening today will be familiar with things like the Log4j dependency that happened a few months ago and around the problems that caused an unsupported piece of open source software, or whether or not that was the case, causing lots of problems further down the line for dependencies that were relying upon that. And sometimes that's making it really difficult for teams, even here within EPAM, to want to embrace open source because they're worried about that risk or that lack of control in something that's being maintained externally to the project. I think how you might go around mitigating that can also be a bit challenging. It can actually mean becoming a part of that project itself. So maybe contributing inwards or even getting to maintain a status so that you've got a little bit of a foothold within that open source solution, and therefore you can feel more reliant that it's going to be worthwhile to adopt. EPAM specifically, we've been developing a competency or a product around this to enable our clients to have kind of specific open source dependency support. So some of our clients who were really keen to use open source but are worried about that ongoing maintenance requirement can now rely upon a kind of team of dedicated engineers to support with that. And I suppose one more further downside, short mention, is around integration. A lot of open source solutions are not built, bearing in mind that it might be consumed by 100,000 solutions down the line. So there's always going to be some kind of coding or development to get some of those solutions integrated. And lots of people, perhaps in leadership positions, would regard that as a bit of a hidden cost of open source. So again, it's always worthwhile bearing in mind that open source is great. And of course, I'm going to shout about it, but you can't just pick it out of the box and get running with it like some of the off-the-shelf software and solutions.
As you mentioned, I started with the downsizer, and my next question would be, why are our clients so keen to get open source projects? And plus that, there is a significant percentage of developers who are contributing to open source projects. Why is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's two parts, isn't there? So why are our clients and why are enterprises continuing to adopt open source? We're seeing massive percentages. I mean, there's lots of reports out there. There's the State of Open report. There's various things from Linux Foundation as well, that enterprises are really waking up to the value of open source. And I'm sure we'll talk about some of the benefits and why that exists for organizations, the strategy behind open source development. But secondly, around developers, if enterprises are adopting open source, then of course, developers should be getting on that bandwagon. And I think one of the most attractive things for engineers, analysts, it's important to say that open source engagement is not just coding. There's a lot that can be done around non-coding contribution. But all of those individuals getting involved, there's that real opportunity to kind of enhance your own skills and make sure that what you're pushing out is at the very, very best of what you can deliver. The idea that your work is going to be out there in the public domain often makes engineers really write the very best code they can do, because of course, they're going to be worried about the feedback or the PRs, the pull requests that get raised for them. I think why that's attractive for enterprises, and particularly here at EPAM as well, is that if we can get more and more engineers, analysts, etc., engaged in open source, then that not only helps our business because it shows that we're embracing open source, we're being what we would call a good open source citizen, but it also shows that as an organization, we're not afraid to spend time and our own resources on contributing back to open source solutions that are going to be used by people and organizations all over the world. I think getting involved in open source as an engineer or getting involved as open source as an enterprise has a real key set of benefits and motivations. And I'm really excited that this upward trend continues to kind of skyrocket year on year. And I think we're just going to see more and more organizations and individuals embracing it.
We've covered enterprises. We've covered developers. What about you? Could you tell us a little bit about your current role in the Open Source Program Office at EPAM? So with your amazing expertise of 15, 20 years, as you mentioned, what do you do as a lead, open source lead at EPAM?
Yeah, absolutely. So my role specifically in the Open Source Program Office, so the OSPO, as we call it here, is the kind of lead program manager. And I look after two specific stacks within the wider Open Source Program Office. So one is around products. So we have some amazing products that we're building in-house. One of them is the Open Source Contributor Index, which I'd love to talk about later. And the other is a product we've recently just revamped called EPAM's Open Source Contributor Index, or OSCI. And the second column that I look after is community. And this is the one I'm really passionate about. This is about getting more and more people on that open source journey, celebrating people's achievements, recognizing some of those contributors, and really just get a positive culture message around it's great to be using open source. We're championing the use of open source, and we're going to make it as easy as possible for you. So a lot of my work is around conferences, marketing, spreading the message, taking part in things like this today, and really just building a sense of EPAM as a real leader in open source, both internally, but also externally, and how we present ourselves to the market and the wider industry.
With this contributor index, I would love to hear more. I know that we have more than 70 maintained solutions, and the open source projects at EPAM are incredibly diverse. And it would be, I guess, a little bit tough, but could you highlight some of the most exciting, interesting, I don't know, ones, and plus the contributor index, of course?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a fantastic team within EPAM, actually, who look after the Open Source Contributor Index. And the Open Source Contributor Index is something that EPAM launched in 2019 at our SEC conference. And the purpose really was the first time to present an honest, transparent view of corporations' contributions to open source globally. So it ranks organizations by the number of active contributors and who are pushing kind of push events into open source solutions globally. And now at the top of the pile, obviously we can all guess the names that are up there, but EPAM's very, very proud to be currently the number one kind of systems integrator globally, but also consistently in the top 20 of organizations. So if you think of every organization engaged in open source, EPAM is up there at the top. And we are committed to maintaining this tool and enhancing it and making it better for consultants, for journalists, for engineers to really see who are the key players in open source, but also what's the data behind it. The latest version has some real great insight into drill downs on popularity of languages, licenses, industry analysis. So I'd encourage everyone to check it out. And that's probably one of the key open source projects that we are very excited about. I'm always amazed at some of the solutions that get open sourced through EPAM. The second is another one that's amazing for a different reason, and it's called Report Portal. And it's really a dashboard for testing reports and automation. And itself in a product, I have to put my hands in the air. I don't necessarily understand everything about it. But what I think is exciting about this is that Report Portal is a real success story in terms of why open source works. So my last analysis, I think just over 50% of the contributions into Report Portal were coming from non-EPAM individuals. So what that means is that we open sourced a solution that was entirely EPAM. And then it got so popular, it got so much interest that people from all over the world wanted to enhance it, wanted to further it along and contribute inwards, that now we've got a kind of cross-organization team of contributors and maintainers working on making this product better and better. And that is the real kind of crux of what open source is. It's saying, I've got a great idea here. I'm not going to keep it hidden and tucked away. I'm going to show it to the world, and then I'm going to be receptive and let you all contribute and make this better for the entire community. And Report Portal is a real pinnacle of what can be achieved. And yeah, that's one of my products I'm always shouting about.
I love both stories. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's really impressive, you know. That drives me to my next question. As you were talking about your role at EPAM, you mentioned that one of your tasks is to make it as easy as possible to join the project. So if someone wanted to contribute to the OS projects at EPAM, how would they go about doing it?
Yeah, that's a good question, and one we get asked quite a lot, actually. I think in the simplest sense, the message I always try to put across is that EPAM really encourages and promotes individuals engaging with open source. So there's this idea that you might hear kind of just get started and then ask forgiveness later. I'm not sure whether that's entirely safe in the world of open source with some of the legal considerations. But at the same time, that shouldn't be a blocker. So we do have a list of projects. We do have EPAM GitHub organization, which shows, gosh, over 200 repositories. And all of those are open and welcoming contributors. And in the first instance, as is good kind of community practice, just reach out to those maintainers or those project leads and say, look, I've got a suggestion or I'd love to hear more. Really, what's important as well is reading things like the contributing.md files that you'll find within a repository. And those are the maintainers' kind of first steps around how you might want to contribute. What are the asks? How do they expect you to engage? But similarly, as an open source program office, we can definitely help in terms of guiding you through your first contribution or perhaps putting projects forwards that you can contribute quite significantly into. Maybe you've got quite a lot of experience in open source contribution.
And with this amazing support, I would ask you here, why EPAM is actively encourages EPAMers and other maintainers to get involved in the open source project and how open source fits into the larger business goals of EPAM from your perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I would definitely say open source is strategically valuable, not just for EPAM, but for organizations. We mentioned the adoption rate of open source is growing year on year, and we're only going to see that increase. In particular, we're also seeing far more industries embrace open source. So some of those regulated industries, such as financial services and insurance, are now saying we need to also get on the open source train, if you like, and really start to use this software. And it makes sense for an organization like EPAM. Why would we therefore want to be involved in open source? Well, our clients are consuming it. Our clients are looking for guidance and engineering know-how in open source, and therefore we should absolutely be kind of singing the same song and helping them on that journey. I think for EPAM as well, internally, there's two goals for us within open source, certainly what my view is. One is around that community and that culture. We're so proud of our engineering heritage and our engineering excellence that we should absolutely also be building a culture and a community around celebrating that from an open source perspective. And some of our very kind of popular competency centers, Java, Python, Drupal, for example, are doing a great job in building that culture within those stacks. The open source community is about kind of stretch across all of those and bring people together. So from EPAM's perspective, that goal is one of the whys. But the second is our clients, as I said. We can build a very, very strong culture internally, but we also want to be making sure that we're bringing our clients along for that journey. And we've got some great offerings around kind of open source consultancy, maturity assessments, and the stuff I mentioned earlier around dependency support. And that's a big motivator for EPAM, that we have clients who need these gaps filling, who need this support, who need this expertise. And EPAM is really well positioned to do that through the kind of excellent individuals that we have working already Our job is really just to try and get them in the right place at the right time to say, look, EPAM is really well positioned in terms of open source engagement, and we really know what we're talking about here. We've got these fantastic people doing this in the open source world already, or we've got these fantastic people internally who are key members of our community and our culture. So I'd say that's why we are so excited about getting involved in open source.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And talking about fantastic people, how many fantastic people do you have in your own team, and how large is the open source community at EPAM?
that's a great question, and one that I'm sure even in my own team we would argue about. So my own team itself, or certainly the products team, is fairly small actually. So there's about 7 or 8 of us, with a few more kind of distributed on various capabilities. The OSPO itself probably stretches to about 10 or 12, and that involves everything from marketing functions, tech support, tooling, consultancy. So it's still a fairly small team, but we're really proud of the kind of stuff that we put out. In terms of the open source community, though, at EPAM, well, I mentioned that we have our own tool, EOSCI, EPAM's Open Source Contributor Index, and that's available for everyone to access or log into. And on there, you'll be able to find loads of exciting metrics around the open source community at EPAM. And the reason I say this could be contested is that I would say everyone has the potential to be part of the open source community. You just might not realize, or you might not have woken up to the fact that you're consuming open source. So I would love to be able to say that the 60,000 people we have in the organization is representative of our community, but that might be stretching it a little too far. What we do know is that we've got about 6,000 individuals who have taken the decision to share their GitHub ID with us. And what that does first is that says to us, look, you've got 6,000 people who are using GitHub in one way or another, and on that basis, most likely are involved in open source. But on top of that, we then narrow that down further, and we actually look at, well, who's contributing and who are the ones that are really contributing. And we know that that's anything from 3 to 4, 5,000, depending on the year or what's going on. So when we look at that, we can actually, through this tool, start to look at which are the popular projects, which geography is contributing the most, which languages are on the up. So Go, for example, the Golang, we're seeing more and more adoption of that. So we've got some really exciting community insight into what that looks like at EPAM. I, for one, am always in this tool, always checking out what's going on. But it's a fantastic tool, and I'd really encourage everyone to have a look, because on a daily basis, you too would be able to see what the size of the open source community at EPAM looks like.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Talking about the consultancy, you also mentioned that we would like to continue with the consultancy to our clients as well, and there is a demand for that. So could you give us an overview of the consultancy possibilities we give as regards to open source projects?
Yeah, absolutely. Consultancy offerings exist across kind of 5 main products, and I'll just talk about two or three of them. The first is probably the most exciting, and that's what we call our open source excellence. It's our maturity assessment. So it's a bit like the other maturity assessments we do through NGEX or product management or a BA capabilities. And we go into an organization and we ask lots and lots and lots of questions. And at the end of it, we're able to assess an organization's maturity from kind of ad hoc usage all the way up to governed strategic usage. And that's across a number of strands. So open source consumption, open source contribution, culture, strategy, inner sourcing, which is the idea of sharing code in-house through the open source way of working, but not necessarily publishing it out to the wider world. And that's our first kind of gate, if you like, within the consulting. So to get a feel for what a client's doing in that space, and then build a roadmap and recommendations, but not necessarily doing the delivery, although of course EPAM's incredibly well placed to do that delivery as well. And that's our open source excellence. And then from there, of course, obviously some of our consultancy offerings can then turn into kind of digital transformation pieces. So actually we've identified that there's some changes that could be implemented, or there's some tooling that could be used. So some of our consultancy will be around a really exciting area, that policy automation, which doesn't sound too exciting as a title, but actually what it does is incredible. This idea that you can have an open source policy, let's say a 20-page Word document, and you can automate that. So when developers are coding and they're contributing back to the open source world through that automated policy, you're already checking vulnerabilities, dependencies, you're checking if there's any license conflicts, you're making sure that it applies to kind of making sure there's no EPAM secrets being published or proprietary information that shouldn't be included there. And at the end, the developer feels empowered because they've not had to do all these manual checks themselves. They just get a report saying X, Y, Z, or you need to change this. But as an organization, we can encourage more and more contribution because we're less worried. We have less concerns over kind of legal or IP protections. So that's one of our consultancy offerings that we're rolling out to clients. And indeed, within EPAM, we're hoping to get this in place for all of our own engineers very, very soon. And then a final consultancy offering, which I think I touched upon before, is that idea around dependency support. This is a very simple model for us, and we do it with many of our clients in a non-open source capability. But imagine being able to give a client a team of 20 or 30 engineers and say, look, these people are available to look after all of your open source dependencies, all of your concerns around open source software. And we have some great clients who are already using this. It's really successful for them because they're able to consume open source. They're able to pursue all of their open source endeavors with that reassurance that they've got a fantastic team of people behind them ready just in case something goes wrong or they need to change or chop and adapt something to suit their business needs.
Once again, I would like to circle back to our developers and maintainers. You've mentioned that, first of all, why people join, because they get the opportunity to show and to write the best code ever. What else is in for them to join the projects?
So I often feel that there's quite a lot of alignment between engineers' kind of benefits of open source and the overall benefits of open source, with a few exceptions. So I think one of them, and one I'm very excited about, is this ability that innovation is a key part of open source. So the idea that an engineer or an analyst or a BA or whoever it happens to be can be at the very forefront of innovation within a product is exciting. I mean, we're all excited about our jobs and we all want to make sure that when we wake up in the morning and grab that coffee or that tea, whatever it happens to be, we can sit down at our laptop and be excited about what we're doing. I think open source drives innovation via those communities. So you can be a member of a community that's really working to try and solve or eradicate a problem or a challenge within your product. And that's an exciting thing. Being able to get on your own personal profile that you are constantly enhancing and innovating on a product is very, very exciting for me. I think secondly, as well, is the idea that you have the freedom to take a product or software in any direction you want, with a few caveats, of course, the licensing. But I'm sure we could do an entire other podcast on open source licenses, so we won't touch on that. But why is that exciting? Well, it means that you could see a product or a solution out there, and subject to its kind of license conditions, you could say, I'm going to take this in an entirely different direction. I'm going to adapt this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to integrate this into something I've already written. And I'm going to build a brand new product that I'll open source as well and maybe take it on a different journey. So you've got this kind of toolbox or this entire, imagine a supermarket in front of you with all of these products. And you can literally go in and say, I'm going to take A, B, C. I'm going to combine C and D and come out with something at the end. And that idea of this entire toolkit of kind of software and solutions that you can use and take forward is so, so exciting, I think, for anyone to be able to say, look, this is available to me and I'm going to go forward running with this. And lots of the solutions we open source from engineers and developers within EPAM are just little projects that they've been working on that have grown in popularity. And we've done an assessment on them and decided, actually, this could be really worthwhile, not just to other EPAMers, but to the wider world. And consequently, we've released them and they've grown into something else. So yeah, I see that as a really, really exciting opportunity for anyone involved in open source.
So exciting. Thank you so much for sharing your enthusiasm. Chris, as I was asking you right at the beginning, GitHub or GitLab? So why GitHub?
The reason I obviously say GitHub is it's in the public domain. Everyone can go and check out what's going on there. Everyone can look at open source activities, orgs. Important to say, not everything on GitHub is open source. You need to look for that license. It's very important. So don't assume that all code is there available to be used. And that would get me in trouble if I didn't say that. But as a platform, and some of the innovation they're delivering is incredible. If you haven't checked out Copilot, GitHub's Copilot, and I think it's still in its testing stage, but do check it out. It's this incredible AI coding platform that they have been building to enable anyone to kind of code, really. Even me, even non-technical me, I can type in some kind of normal English and it will convert it into code for me and ask me if that's what I mean. So GitHub, I think, it's kind of the real home of open source. There's GitHub Universe conference happening later this year as well, where you'll get to join a virtual event and hear lots of exciting innovation in the world of development, engineering, and open source. So for me, that's why I would say GitHub and the kind of relationship that not just EPAM has with GitHub and Microsoft, but also how the Open Source Program Office relies upon it for all of our solutions and that ongoing engagement into open source contributions.
You've been with open source for approximately 2 decades right now. What drives you? Why do you stay in open source?
I think it goes back to the kind of altruistic which is a big word, but kind of that idea of being able to give something back, which doesn't necessarily always go hand in hand with business and enterprise. But actually that idea that we're all individuals and we just so happen to sit within large organizations or projects or teams. We're all individuals and we all recognize that sometimes it's important to give a little back. There are plenty of people out there who take and consume open source, but the whole ecosystem wouldn't work if there weren't also people who gave back. And I truly believe I'm one of those people, not necessarily through code contributions, and my GitHub stats don't look too great, but through creating a culture where others can give back and building a community where people are excited about open source. That's why I stick at it, because I really see the value that open data, open software, open hardware is providing for the world. And a final thing is I actually sit on the leadership team of an organization called Open UK. They promote the three opens in the UK, and they've done some fantastic analysis around the value of that. And one of my hats that I wear there is I'm their chief learning officer, and I'm working on a number of programs for young children about educating them on the value of open. And as the world progresses and we engage more and more with the digital world, open is just going to become an integral part of everyone's life. So why not get people at the earliest stages of their kind of engagement in IT and computing to understand what it is? Because then it will become a day-to-day of their life, and open source will just become something that we're all used to doing year on year.
Thank you so much. That is a very powerful message indeed. And a little bit of fun. So How many cups of coffee do you drink throughout a normal working day to stay open in open source?
Oh, I would say 3 or 4. And if I don't, I probably am closed. So yeah, 3 or 4.
Thank you so much for an amazing discussion, Chris, and for being so open and engaging about open source projects at EPAM. It would be great to catch up later. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next episode. And thank you so much for joining. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks very much.